Begin the current daf, Maseches Bechorot daf Mem Aleph. Begin on the second line down of the top of the Abad, where the Gemara continues the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this Perek regarding Al Elul Mumin Sheikhtin HaSabachar. Similar to the wording that we opened up this Perek, it's regarding these blemishes that we mentioned in the previous Mishnayos, that if an animal, firstborn animal, has these blemishes, it's permitted to slaughter it out of the Beis HaMikdash for one's own personal usages. And regarding regular kachrim karbanis, that they become invalidated if they have this type of a blemish that's considered permanent, we could go ahead and redeem it and deconsecrate it. So now the Gemara asks, Hasu lamali, what do we need this Mishnah for? Hatana le reisha, we already learned this in the opening of the parak. Al elu mumet sheikh nesabachar, it says these same words, for these blemishes that a firstborn animal could be slaughtered. Says the Gemara, sefer etzucha, we need it for the last words of our Mishnah. You're right, we already knew the law regarding the shechita of the Bechar. So regarding the redemption of a regular kachim that is also permitted with these blemishes. To which the Gemara asks, that was also obvious. Mishchat shechtin, and if we could even go so far as invalidating a kachim to then go ahead and redeem it, that just has to invalidate it, as actually we'll see in the next Mishnah. That's one level. But to go ahead and even permit it to be slaughtered, that has to be a really bona fide blemish. So if we could slaughter it, semifrik mibay, do we have to say that we could redeem a kachim with that? Obviously. Elarather says the Gemara a different reason. Adi detana, since we learned in the Mishnah on the previous daf, Memamaralef, that Shleisha Haisa, if we said in the Mishnah that there were three cases that Ayala added on that are considered blemishes, Vamrulai, and the sages said to him, Loi Shemanu, and the Gemara says, Elas Elu, no. We don't agree with what you said, these three that you added on, only the original ones that you had mentioned, which were counted in Yavne. Now, and then, V'ketani V'asi, the following Mishnayos then continue, and they mention blemishes that are not anonymous. Rather, the Yechidah, they are individual Tanoim that mention them. Reb Chanina ben Atignes, Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, and we would have thought that just like Ba'ayala, the Rabban would disagree. So therefore, V'kasasin labakulu, therefore our Mishnah then concludes and unspecified says, Al elu mumin sheikhin esabachar. We go and anonymously say it's regarding all these blemishes that we could slaughter firstborn animal, b'sul magdash niftalim, and that regular kachim could be redeemed, to say that although there are das yachar, and just like we had the chachamim trying to disagree with Ayala, although they subsequently retracted and agreed to him, so to all the rest, although they're said by individual tanaim, our anonymous mission is saying that they're all agreed upon that they're considered blemishes. Now the next mishnah continues, it says that, but ve'elu, these that we're going to count, she'ein sheikh na'leim, you cannot slaughter on them, lo'i b'mikdash v'lo'i b'mdina. So it's actually somewhere in the middle. You can slaughter in the base of mikdash, because on some level it's considered a blemish, but you cannot slaughter it based on that blemish out of the base of mikdash for one's own personal usage, because it's not considered a mumkavua, permanent blemish. As the mission describes, chavarvur v'hamayim she'ein kavua. We had this category before, but when we spoke about that as a permanent blemish, it says white spots of water in the eyes that are not permanent. So again, it's considered a blemish that you can bring it as a carbon, but it's not a blemish enough to permit it to be slaughtered out of the base of Mikdash. So to v'chutin ha-pnimiyas, the inner gums, shenifkimu, they were only notched, avaloi shenekru, but they were not uprooted. Or ubal garav, which is a type of boils, ubal yabelis, or if it has a wart, which we explained in the previous daf, we're talking about where there's the wart but in the eye, but there's no bone. Because if it would be bone, it would be actually a full-fledged blemish that actually would permit it to be slaughtered outside. And if there is here, and it's in the white part of the eye, that would also be considered a bona fide blemish. Here we're talking about that it's in the white part of the eye, and there is here. And if it was in the body, then actually it would just be considered like things hanging down. Wouldn't be a problem unless there's bone. So therefore, our case that we're talking about is this middle type of a case that's in the white of the eye, without a bone, but it has here. So therefore, it's not something appropriate for the base of Mikdash, but again, it's not a mum kavua to slaughter it out of the base of Mikdash. Ubal chazazas, which is also types of boils, just like the garav. Zakan, if it's elderly, it's too old. V'chayla, if it's ill. Umizum, or if it has a foul smell. Or v'shenevda b'yaveru, or if a sin was done with this animal where it was sodomized, or v'shehemis adam, or if it killed a person, and these two cases we just described, how do we know that it was sodomized, that it had relations with a person, or if it killed, was al p'yed echad, either by the testimony of one witness, where there was no one who saw this reveal or this negicha except this one witness, or al p'yabalim, or the owner himself, where there's no witnesses at all, just the owner himself said it, because if we'd actually be testified by two witnesses, actually this animal would be stoned, and actually would be forbidden even to have benefit from it. But here, we know it's not valid for the Beis HaMikdash because of Eirech or the owners, but again, that's not a mum that permits it out of the Azar. But Tumtum van Dragonus, where simply is Tumtum is that it's covered over and we cannot tell any of the genital, we can't tell if it's female or male, none of those signs are evident. And the Dragonus is actually where it has both signs, has the male and the female, where both of them are, it's doubt if it's a male and then it would be sanctified, or if it's female and that it's not sanctified. So regarding all these types of cases we described, Leibim Mikdash v'Leibim Medina, you can't slaughter in the Beis HaMikdash because in that regard it's considered problematic, but you can't slaughter in out of the Beis HaMikdash either because it's not considered a full-fledged mum. Now the Gersa is Rabbi Shmuel, I mean he says, and he's going on this last case of Andragonus, he says that the fact that it has the genital area of the female, that's considered a blemish. He says, "En lecha mum gadol mizeh," there's no greater blemish than that, where it has a hole inside of itself in the female genital area, and therefore it's like a bechor, it's a male that's blemished, and therefore it could be slaughtered out of the Beis HaMikdash. But again, like a regular bechor balmum, where you could slaughter it, it would be forbidden to shear the wool and to work with it. Now the Chamayim, they say one step further. They say no, ain't a bechor. It's not a firstborn animal which is only by a male, because they say that the androgynous is what's called beri b'fnei atzmahu. It's its own creature. And therefore, Ela Nixis Venevit, it can even be shorn, it can even be worked, it doesn't have any limitations whatsoever. Now the Gemara goes back to the opening halacha of one of the opening halachas that we said that Garav is not Nishchad b'mikdash and b'medina. On that the Gemara says, but Garav Lai, is Garav not a, which we said is described as these types of boils, it's not a bona fide mum to be able to slaughter out of the Beis HaMikdash? But Vaksiv Garav Be'iraisa, in the Torah, the Yikrach of Beis, when it talks about what are considered the blemishes in the animal, when it says the blind or broken, it says a Garav Oyalefis. So it's clearly a Mumgamer to be able to slaughter B'medina. And V'chazazis Lai, and the other types of boils, Chazazis, you think that's not a Mumgamer? But Vaksiv Yalefis Be'iraisa, it says Yalefis in the Torah. Why? Because we're talking about the Braisam, that Garav Zehacheres. That when it says garav in the Torah, that refers to cheres, meaning to say it's a type of boils which are hard like earthenware, like pottery. And yalefes, that it mentions in the Torah, zuchazazis hamitzvahs. This is the boils which were brought on the Egyptians by the Esther Makis, which we see that's the chazazis that we're talking about, which are these types of boils. Now, Vamar Shlokesh says, Lama nikra shma yalefes, why is it called yalefes? Shema lafefes v'aleches ad yema misa, because the word yalefes, as the Targum translates in Shmuis Lamed Vav, Yechaber, which is Velofif, it's like attached. It stays with the person until he dies. Now, so it sounds like that they are the biblical mumim, so why would it be Loi Nishchad B'Medina? So the Gemara answers. Bishlam Achazaz Lekash, regarding the last case of Achazaz, we understand that it wouldn't be difficult. Why? Because Kam Achazaz is Hamitches. In the Pasuk that we brought, that we said, oh, the Pasuk mentions Yalefes, which is Chazaz, that's considered a mum. So, yeah, we would say that is the Egyptian chazazis, which would be considered a bona fide mum. Kam chazaz di alma. But in our mission, we're talking about regular boils, not the Egyptian one which stays with you the rest of your life, just boils that could go away, or it's not as severe. So that's something that we would say, okay, it's not a mum enough, it's loy nishchad b'mikdash and loy b'medina. But elagarv, agarv kasha, where you don't have that differentiation between different types of chazazis, like we had mitzvahs and di alma, garv is just garv, which is like hard, like pottery, that it seems to be a contradiction. The pasuk says a mum gamer, and our mission is saying it's not a mum gamer. So it says the Gemara, garva garva namale kashas. No, it's not difficult. Why? Ha balach. Our mission is talking about a type of garav, a type of boils that are moist. Ha biyavish. The pasuk is talking about when it's dry, as the Gemara explains. Lachitasi. The moist one could be healed, and therefore it's not a bona fide mum. Yavish lemitasi. But the dry one, which is mentioned in the pasuk, doesn't heal, and therefore that's considered a mum gamer. Oh, that is the Gemara v'alach mitasi. Is that really so that the moist type of garav, those types of boils, they heal, and therefore our Mishnah is saying it's not a mum gamer? But the pasuk says, "Devar miyakcha Hashem b'shchin Mitzrayim," by the curses for someone that doesn't fulfill the Torah, says Hashem will smite you, will hit you in the boils of the Egyptians, etc. Which the pasuk says, "Uvatchayim uvagarav uvacheres." Now, and the fact the pasuk already mentions over there the one that's dry like earthenware, So hare garav, so obviously the garav there in that pasig is lachamer, is talking about that it's moist. The comment still the pasig says, ashalay suchalei rafi, which cannot be healed. So you see, even the moist type of garav does not heal. And it is a mum gummer. And so therefore, then we're back to the question, how does the Mishnah say that the case of garav is not a mum gummer, even if he's saying it's lach? So the Rebbe says, no, it's still not difficult, because plasahab, there's actually three different types. You have the one, dikra. You have the one in the pasuk that talks about when we talk about the blemishes of the animals, of the karbanas, where we say that that's cheris, that's the one that's hard like earthenware, that's yavish mei bimifnim beimimachutz. That's when it's dry in the inside and the outside of those boils, that's a mum gummer. Then you have demasnitin, the one of our Mishnah, which we're saying is not a bona fide, it's not a full-fledged mum. That's lach mibachutz umibifnim, when the boils are moist in the inside and on the outside. So therefore, that's why it cannot be slaughtered bimedina. Then you have the mitzrayim, that's which it says by the curses of the Jewish people, they're not going to keep the Torah, it says uvagarav uvacheres, which obviously cannot be told that it's all dry, because cheres is that case. What's garav, that's garav, is yavish mibifnim melach mibachutz. It's dry on the inside, and it's moist on the outside. Now, since it's dry on the inside, therefore, you're right, there it's not going to heal. And you're right, if a Bechai would have that type of garav, that would also be considered a full-fledged mum. Our Mishnah again is talking about that's lach mibifnim umibachutz. Now, how do we know this? The chassid, because the pasuk says in Shemayis regarding the Egyptian boils, says vayhi shchina was boils, and the gear says the opposite of avu is pireach ba'adam. What does pireach mean? Pireach is that which is seen on the top, where it's something that sticks out. It's pireach, like that of floating, like a flying. And it says avabuos, which one, that the sheirish of that word is naivea, of flowing, which sounds like that which is on the top, on the outside, is lach, is flowing, is moist. And but on the inside, it was hard. So therefore, that's considered something that is a mum gummer, just like the case when it's dry on the inside and dry on the outside, because it has some dry, it's a mum gummer. Whereas our Mishnah was the third type, which was moist on the inside and the outside. That's not considered a mum gummer, and therefore it's not nishchat b'medina. Now the Mishnah continued and said, other these types of middle cases of mumim are va'azakin, va'chila, va'mazum, if it's elderly, if it's ill, if it smells bad. So says the Gemara, where do we know that these are things, we're saying it's not a gummer to slaughter b'chutz, how do we know that they cannot be slaughtered in the Beis HaMikdash as a regular carbon? So the Tanna Rabbanan, because learn the Brisa, the Pasuk says in Mayikra, says, min hatzayin, from the sheep, which includes min hakvasim, from the lambs, and min ha'izim, or from the goats, which we expound, min hatzayin, from the sheep, and not all the sheep, and all of them, when it says min, it's excluding, so it says min three times over there, is prat lazakin ulachay lemazum. So that's excluding when it's old, when it's ill, and when it smells bad. So it's a Gemara B'tzricha, we needed to exclude all those three types. Why? Dikas v'chman l'mutizakin, had the Torah only written one to exclude that when it's old, I would say l'hadabari, because it doesn't get younger, it doesn't get healthy again. Avulchay l'hadabari imalai, but when it gets sick, when it's gonna, it can ultimately get healthy back again, I would say that we're not going to exclude that from being brought as a carbon. Now, because of mutichaylin, have we written only one to exclude when it's ill? I would say because the lav urchid, it's not its normal development. It's getting sick is something that's unnatural. So therefore, we're excluding it. But when it gets old, where it's still the normal process of the animal, I would say that that would not be excluded. So then we had to say zaken too. Now, because Rachman the Treh had the Torah only written two exclusions, I would say lemutehani, that's excluding these two because they're kishik, because ultimately they're weak. One because of age and one because of the illness. But when it smells bad, where it's not weak, it just smells bad, I would say we're not going to exclude that from being burned as a carbon. So if we had to say, mizum. Now, had we said the case of when it smells bad, mishum demois, I'd say, because that's disgusting, it has a bad smell. But regarding those two, when it's old and when it's chayla, where it's not repulsive, it's just weak, I would say actually we would not exclude them. Therefore, we have to say all these three cases to exclude them and to say that they're considered mumim that they cannot be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but again, they're not mum kavua to slaughtered b'chutz. Then the Mishnah continued, another case, b'shenevda b'yaveru b'chulu, if a sin was done with it, where a person had relations with this animal called sodomy, or if it killed a person, where again it was testified by an Eid Echad, or by the owner itself, which the Gemara is going to expound on, then it's a mum that it cannot be brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but again, that it cannot be slaughtered b'chutz. Says Gemara, where do we know this from? Because the Torah in the Brisa, and that it's a mum that you can't breed in the Beis HaMikdash. The pasuk says in Vayikra, it says min habehema, where again it's told by karbanis, says from the animal. Now it says from is lahitzi roiva v'nirva. That's excluding to exclude if it's sodomized or was sodomized, male or female. min habakar, from the cattle, lahitzias an evan, to exclude that which was made into an idol, which was worshipped. Min hatzayin, from the sheep, lahitzias a muktzah, to exclude even that which was just set aside and designated for the purposes and utility of idolatry. Now it also says, umin hatzayin, there's an extra vav, and from the sheep, that's lahitzias a noigeach, that's to exclude if the animal gored a person and killed them, where then it's excluded from being brought as a carbon in the base of Mikdash. Now, regarding the cases of Raiva, Nirva, Nogeach, the Gemara wonders, these animals, what are you saying, that they can't be brought as a carbon? Of course not. They actually have to be killed because of the sin that was committed with them. So the Gemara says, no, there are no witnesses. Rather, it's Alpi Eirachad, is only, as I said in the Mishnah, when the owner testified that this happened with this animal, that one witness did, or the owner himself had testified regarding that. They admitted, and therefore the animal doesn't get stoned, when the owner himself admitted, because when you admit to a biblical penalty, one is exempt, and with one witness, we have to have two witnesses to go ahead and execute a judgment, so therefore that's the case, it's invalid from being brought as a carbon, but it's not going to be stoned. Then the Mishnah continued, other cases, v'tum devadregnus, that those are also considered that ain't sheikh de mimikdash, but loy b'medina. So the Gemara wonders, bishlam v'tum de mimikdash loy. We understand the case of tumtum, which again is when it's closed up, that's what the word tumtum means, where you can't tell what the gender is, male or female. So in the sense, you can't bring that as a carbon to the base of mikdash, because dim on the kevi, because maybe this animal is female, and this person is going to be bringing it as a firstborn animal, because it's the first one born, and maybe it's a male, and he's not going to be sanctifying it. Now the thing is that maybe it doesn't really have the sanctity of the firstborn, because it might not be a male, and he's going to be bringing chulin to the azar, an unconsecrated animal, which is forbidden. So you understand that, because it might be female, so you can't bring it to the base of mikdash, because it's not really the carbon of a bechor. And the Medina, like, we understand why you can't slaughter it on your own now out of the base of Mikdash, because Dilma Zachu, because maybe underneath there it really has, it's a male. Velesba Muma, and it doesn't have any blemish, it's a regular male, and that's forbidden to be slaughtered by Chutz. Elan Dragon is, but the question is regarding that of where it has both genders, has the simonim of both, which is male and female. So Bishlam Ebim Mikdash, like, we understand you can't bring it in the base of Mikdash as a carbon, because Dilma Nekevi, because maybe it's qualified as in the Keva. Because ultimately it has that simanim too. El b'medina, but out of the base of Mikdash, and the gear says, Nihid nami dezachahu. So, okay, if it's in the cave, obviously it's not a bechor, so you could slaughter it by yourself outside. And says the Gemara, but even if it's male, te'asin nakvus, let its female genitalia be like a charetz, like a cut inside its flesh, because that's what the female genitalia is, and that this animal has that too, the yishchatala, and therefore allow the animal to be slaughtered because of that, because in the Torah when it talks about blemishes, it mentions charetz. It says, amikachav beis iveris leishaba oicharetz, that these are considered blemishes. So that itself, in that dragon, should be permitted to be slaughtered by Medina. So why is it forbidden by Medina? So Mabayi says, no, because Amakra, the Pasuk says, like you just quoted, Ay charetz, what's considered blemishes, or if it's cut, ay shava, or if it's broken. So charetz dumi de shava, we see regarding the blemishes in the animal, it compares cut to breaking. Now ma shava b'makom etzim, just like breaking, is only applicable regarding the bones of the animal. Av charetz b'makom etzim, so too the cut is only in the bones. Here it's in the flesh, and therefore that doesn't qualify as a mum. And therefore, maybe again, it's a zachar, and if it's a zachar, then it doesn't have a blemish and be forbidden b'medina. Now Rav Amar, he says, B'loi Shava, he says, even without the hekesh to the other category of broken, which is in Ba'atzamais, Nami lo metzisa amrit, charetz b'makom basa havamumah. He says, even without the comparison, you wouldn't be able to say, as the question was assuming, that the cutting would be a blemish in the area of the flesh. Because he proves, says, the isa g'day de havamumah, if you were entertained to say that it is a blemish, so you run into the following question. Kiven to Amar, since, like we said before, Garv zeu cheres, what's this blemish of garv? It's cheres, it's when there's a boil that's hard like pottery. Now, if so, most definitely, michritz cheres. That what happens is that type of boil cuts into the flesh. Now, additionally, this garv is one of the cases of the negayim. It's a nega, there's shchin types of negayim, which is a type of tzaras that a person could have on his flesh. Now, the pasuk says in Yikra, when it talks about the negoim, it says it qualifies what's considered nega. Umareu amik mina'ar. Its appearance is deeper than the flesh, which is lower down. as elsewhere the Gemara explains, kamari chama mukam enatzel, like the appearance of sun, which is deeper than the shade. It looks deeper than the shade itself, and that's how the nega looks in the flesh. And one of those is gorev. Now, so therefore, you run into the question: v'lichtav rachmano charetz. Let the Torah have only written when it talks about the blemishes, the case of cutting, which that we would have thought to say that even in the flesh that would be considered a blemish. V'loy boy garv, and I wouldn't have to tell you that garv when you have a boil that's hard like earthenware that's going to be considered a blemish, because if I mean, I would say as follows: charetz d'loy mois have a mumo. A cut, which is not something repulsive, not something disgusting, is considered a blemish, just a cut. So garv de mois lekoshkein. So when it's a boil, that it's something that's repulsive, isn't it obvious that for sure is going to be considered a blemish? And it's automatically like that of the cut, because the boils itself cuts into the flesh. And you're saying that a cut in the flesh is considered a blemish? Rather, therefore, kasar rachman garv. Why did the Torah have to say garv? Lamemer to say the charetz b'makam basul lo have a muma. No, because you wouldn't know it from charetz. Because a cut in the flesh is not considered a blemish. It's only cut in the bones. Therefore, as we said, androgynous is not considered a blemish by having the female genital in the flesh, because a cut in the flesh is not a blemish. That's why I have to say garv, because that's only in the flesh. And I would not have known that's because of the fact that of the boil itself, that's what's considered, makes it into a blemish. But the cut itself in the flesh would not make it into a blemish. Now, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, he disagreed regarding this halacha of androgynous. He says, "En lecha mum gadol mizeh." There's no greater blemish in the androgynous that it could be slaughtered b'medina because of the nakva shabai, because of the female genitalia that it has in it. Now, so the Gemara wonders, we just finished explaining why the nakva is not considered a blemish. So the Gemara explains, "Kabaya lo yomer." Rabbi Shmuel did not say like the way Abaye explained for the Tanna Kama, that it's not a blemish because it has to be similar to shaver, which is only a blemish if it's a cut in the bone. He says, no, charetz to me to shaver lemon. He says, we don't make that comparison comparing cut to breaking. Breaking is in the bones and cutting is even in the flesh. And therefore, ein lecha mum gadol mizeh, of such a big cut of the nakvas of the androgynous. And karava namali, I mean, he didn't say like grava, because dilma, maybe this that we were showing that cut in the place of the flesh is not a blemish, as we proved, because if it is, then why say garv? You would know it from charetz. So that says the Gemara, no, that's hechadule minkara. That's only where the cut is not so visible, like the case of the negayim. So that's why, yeah, that's why you have to say garv, because you wouldn't have known it. Aval hechad minkara, but where it's recognizable, like the nakvas of behema, it's the genitalia of the female, which is in the androgynous, is a pretty obvious cut. That them there mumra karina bay. There Rabbi Shmuel says no, that would be considered a bona fide bad blemish, which is the terminology that says regarding the blemishes. And therefore, in lucha mum gadol mizeh, he says you're right. We could say that the negayim, those small cuts of like garav and charetz, which therefore you had to say garav, you wouldn't have known them but charetz, is when it's not recognizable. But when it is recognizable, then he says that en lecha mum gadol mizeh, and if he disagrees, and he says that you could slaughter it by medina. Now, however, the Gemara continues to Medbeis and asks as follows. Bay Rav, he says, my time with Rabbi Shmuel, what's the reason of Rabbi Shmuel that he says that, yeah, the androgynous you could slaughter by medina? Is it because mifshid pshitale? Is it because it was obvious to him that androgynous b'chayru? The androgynous is a firstborn animal, it's a zachar, but as he explained, umumayimay, it has its blemish, the nakvis is a blemish, it's a cut, an obvious cut inside of it. Or maybe no, he was in doubt regarding the androgynous. Is it male? Is it female? Now this study says that it's umumayimay, is v'im timsul loyma coming, he's saying, and if you want to say, meaning, if it's in the keva, because he's not sure, okay, so then of course you could slaughter by medina. But if you're going to say that it's a zachar and it's a firstborn animal, and anyway, even there it's not going to be a problem because then the nakvas is a blemish. So which one is it? So the Gemara wonders, what's the difference? Either way, it's going to be permitted. What's the point of this question of Rava? Says the Gemara, there's two differences. If he's going to get lashes when he's going to shear or work the animal, because if you say that it is a firstborn animal, it just has its blemishes with it, then actually he would get lashes for shearing the wool or working with it, because even the Bukhar Balmum is also Begizav Avaida. But if you say that no, he was in doubt, not sure if it is a female or a male, then out of doubt, if a person would do it, he wouldn't get lashes, because you don't get lashes for regarding a doubtful Isser. Or Inami, another case is Lamesav Lekayin. Do you have to give it to the Kayin? Because if it's a Bukhar, even though it has a Mum, you still have to give a Bukhar Balmum to a Kayin, and the Kayin eats it in that blemished state. But if you say it's doubtful, we don't know if it's a zachor in the keva, then the Yisrael eats it in the blemished state, as any safek bachar which is eaten in its blemished state for the onus, because a mitzmech of a levaraya, the kohen would have to prove that it's a zachor, not in the keva. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a raya from the following price. Rebbe Loya, Mishum, Rebbe Yishmal, this halacha, says, Andragonis, Bachar hu umuma imai, it's a firstborn animal, and it has its blemish with it. So Shma menom, Mifshab Shitli, obviously we see that it was obvious to them that it is a Bachar, it is a Zachar, it just has its blemish, is its Nakvas. So the Gemara, no, Vidim im Tim Solem Bukhama, maybe he was saying, and if you want to say, meaning, if it's a firstborn animal, anyway, it's going to be permitted because that's blemish with it, but again, it's not clear that he definitively was saying that it's a Bachar, that it's a Zachar. So let's bring a raya Tashma. The Braisa brings a pasig, which is by Oilas Bakar, when one brings a carbon oila from the cattle, where it says, Zachar Tam Yakrivenu, an unblemished male he should bring as a carbon, which sounds like Vloin the Keva, and not a female. Carbon oil is from only a male. Now, Kesho Oimel Amata Zachar, when it says later on by the Oilas Sain, when one brings an oila from the sheep, from the flock, so it says over there again, Zachar, male. No, Shein Tam Alayma, there's no purposes of that teaching us anything, because you don't need it for the halacha itself to exclude a female, because you already excluded a female from the carbon oil. So Mat Tam Alayma, what's it coming to teach? To take it one step further, Lahiti Tumdum Va'adreginus. It's coming to tell us to exclude the case of the Tumdum Va'adreginus. Now, that says the Gemara Mani. Who's the Tana of this Braisa that's coming to exclude Tumdum Va'adreginus from the second time that it mentions Zachar by the carbon oil? If he thinks it's the Tandakama of our Mishnah, the problem is, but Tum Van Reginis, according to him, Sveikahu. He says it's a situation of doubt. So then, if it was him, Vasi Krala Mute Sveika, do you think you need a Pasik to exclude the case of doubt? But there's no doubt, Klapi Shemaya, in regards to heaven, to the Torah, who's coming to say Halacha. Obviously, the Tana of this Braisa holds that no, Tum Van Reginis is a Beri Bifnei Atzmahi, it's its own creature. And therefore, we have to disqualify it. If it's doubt, the Torah knows really what it is. Obviously, it's not like the Tanakam of our Mishnah, who held that it's a situation of doubt, not knowing which one it is, and therefore you can't bring it by Mikdash, can't bring it by Medina. So it can't be the Tanakam of our Mishnah. Ella, Rabban Basroi. Rather, it must be the later Rabban of our Mishnah, which was the third opinion, which for them it was obvious that Tumdum Adreginus is its own creature. And therefore, they said that it's not a Bechar at all. You could actually even shear the wool and you could work it because it's not a Zachar. It's not a Bechar. It's not a Zachar. It's not a Keva. It's something else. But it's not a Zachar. So therefore it's not a Bechar. So of course you could do whatever you want with it. But the difficulty is, how can you say it's them? But Mechad Kra Nafki, they learned it out from one Pasuk. In other words, why do you need two Zachars? One, the first one by the Karbonola to exclude the Nekeva, and then the second one to exclude Tumba and Regnus. That it should be enough to exclude all three, Tumdum and Dragonus and the Kefa, from one time that it mentions the word Zachar. Because the Hagabi Bukhar, because regarding the laws of our Mishnah, regarding the firstborn animal, Chad Zachar Hudachsiv, it only says one time the terminology of male, and Kamayit Kulim and Ayu, and all of them are excluded from that one time it mentions Zachar, including Tumdum and Dragonus from the one time it mentions Zachar. So obviously it can't be the Rabban Basrai, because then why would you need a second Pasuk for? Elabshita Rebbe Yishmal. Obviously, rather, it's going like Rebbe Yishmal. As we're going to explain, because we said it can't be like either one of the Rabbanon of our Mishnah, and therefore it's going like Rabbi Shmuel. Now, says the Gemara, V'yamrit b'shlem Rabbi Shmuel mifshad pshitilena, if you're going to say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it is obvious to him that the Andragonus, who has both simonim, is a male. It's just that the Nakvas is its blemish, and therefore it's permitted by Medina. So hayinu de'itzuch kral mu'ute. So that's how we could understand he's a Tana of the Braisa, that you need to have a pasuk to exclude it from the halachas of a oila, because although according to Bishmol, it's obvious Andragonus is a Zachar, it is a male, but we need to have the second time it says Zachar, to say that the Andragonus has no sanctity whatsoever if it was sanctified to be a carbon oila, and that is, it could even be shorn and be worked with. Why? Because from the first time that it mentions Zachar, you wouldn't be able to learn out that it has no sanctity whatsoever. Because actually by the Bechayr, where it mentions only one time the word Zachar, Rabbi Shmuel says, yeah, it could be slaughtered by Medina because it's blemished, but he doesn't preclude it from the prohibition of Giza, because he says that the blemish only allows you to slaughter it. And therefore, if we only mention one time Zachar, we would have said, okay, it's blemished, but you still have the limitations of Kadshim. So that's why we needed the second time Zachar to say, no, it has no sanctity whatsoever. Eliyamrit Mesafkele, but if you say like the other option, that Rabbi Shmuel was in doubt, he wasn't really sure if it's a male or female, so then you can't explain now who's the only other option, that the Bryce like Rabbi Shmuel, Because Isser Kralim Uta is Feka, where you think we need a pasik to exclude a situation of doubt? The Torah knows what it is if it's male or female. If it's male, then you should be able to brought. If it's female, then we don't need the Torah to say that you can't. Torah knows what it is. We don't know. So then who are you going to say the Tana of the Brice is like? Obviously, it's like a Bishmol, and that it was Mifshab Shitle. So the Gemara, no, it's not a Raya. La'ilom Rabbanu Basroi. We could say that the Tana of this Brice is like the last Rabbanan of our Mishnah. Now, this that you said, but wait a second. If it's like them, then it should be enough to have one Pasuk of Zachar by Ayla to exclude the Androgynous, because by Bechor it only says one time the Pasuk and we exclude everything from the one time. So the Gemara, actually, it's not the case. Because actually by the laws of Bukhar of our Mishnah, it actually says two times, and therefore that's exactly like Rabban Basrai. Because you have Hazachar, where it says Hazachar Taktish, and Vahazcharm, it says Ashiyil Lucha Hazcharm Lashem, where it says two times the word Zachar. One says the initial halacha, and then the second one is what's excluding, which excludes in the case. And the second one is taking one step further, where for the Bear Bifnei Atzma to say that it's excluded in terms of our dragonness, and again, that's exactly like the Brice, and therefore the Gemara didn't resolve Rabba's question, if your country Bishmol, it's Mipsha Pshitele, that it's a Zachar just as it has its Mum of Naklis, or was he actually in doubt, wasn't sure, is it in the cave of a Zachar, and that even if it's a Zachar, that it's a Mum of Imer, but again, either way, your country Bishmol, it's permitted to take the dragonness and slaughtered by Medina.